Well, good morning to each one of y'all. Seems like it's been a minute since I was here last, so a couple of new faces. Welcome to all visitors. Jason's devotion was great. It's actually on the same exact topic I'm going to be speaking on, so that was great. I wanted to maybe just reread one of the verses he said real quick, and the first one as a challenge. Psalms 30, verse 1, David writes, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Do we as a lifestyle think about that verse, and do we extol God in our lives, in our daily lives? I don't know if I can, if y'all are tracking with me. You'll get there in a minute. But do we, just like what Jason said, do we realize what God does for us daily, and are we grateful for that? So this morning, the topic of what I'm hoping to share with y'all is trusting God, but also being grateful. One of the words I'd like to focus on would be expectation. A strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. So do we expect tomorrow, or do we trust in God for tomorrow? Do we expect tomorrow, when I wake up, I hit the road as soon as I can, go and work, and buy something on the way there, and do I expect that, you know, I expect myself to get there safely, obviously, hopefully not wreck, and finish my job, and then come home in the evening and do whatever else I have planned. So it's expectations. Now, at what point is expecting something, do we take that out of what God has given us? At what point, when we start expecting, do we just kind of get out of the gratefulness and the gratitude we're supposed to have? And then on the flip side, why, when we can expect X, Y, and Z, do we doubt God? Why do we doubt God when we want something or we have something figured out, and then it's like, oh, well, there's this and this could go wrong. And I guess, for example, when I do concrete, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. I'm like, man, I hope this doesn't go wrong. This could go south quick. But why? Because I've done it so many years, you'd think. And so what brings doubt into our minds? Why do we have doubt? And then why do we expect? Sometimes we kind of expect too much, I think. Now, this is for me personally. I don't know about you all. But who in the end is the one that's in charge and does grant yes or no to these things? I think we can quickly, and I'm not saying that this is wrong to its limit, but we can very easily take for granted what we have. About 2 months ago, I woke up and I did not expect that about 15 minutes after I showed up at work to have quit my job. I did not expect that at all. And it's been interesting since then. There was about 5 weeks ago now, I went and visited a friend a long time ago in Muddy Pond, and saw a bunch of people up there, and I saw an old-time friend, his name was Emmanuel Hostetler, sitting on the bench. And I walked by and said, man, I should have said hi to him. You know, I hadn't seen him in a while. And wouldn't you know that the next day he had an accident with a skid steer and he died. The very next day. And just that thought that when I heard that on that, I think it was a Tuesday, I heard that he died Monday and I had seen him Sunday. Just that thought of, wow, like I had expected to see him the following event that I was up there and just see how he was doing. And to hear that, no, it was a fluke of an accident, and they don't even know how it worked. One of my close friends was working with him, and he was they were actually doing an addition on the church, and he was off one end. Emmanuel was doing something with his kid's steer. It falls down on top of him, snaps his neck, and he dies, just like that. You know, I just, what do we do in those situations, and then how do we respond to those situations? So for our text this morning, I'd like to go to Matthew 11. Let me see if I have that right. Sorry, Matthew 14. Very familiar text this morning about Peter walking on water. I think I have, maybe I have this wrong. Hang on. I said 14. My bad. Matthew 14. We're going to start in 14. Yes, 14:28. I think is where we're going to start. If I have that right. Hang on. 14:22. We're going to start in verse 22. All right, sorry about that. All right. Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of... Can somebody help me out? How do you say that? Gennesaret? Is that right? Gennesaret. Thank you. Gennesaret. And when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought him all that were deceased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. All right, so right off the bat, verse 22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained to his disciples to get in the ship. So he told them, "Hey, guys, it's time to go. Get in the ship." So disciples hop in the ship, and a lot of these men, full-grown men, some of them were actual fishermen. So, I mean, hopping in a boat, it was, every day for them. Sometimes to really get back into what I used to do is kind of just something, it's just kind of almost just like a stress relief getting back into something. So I'm for sure some of those fishermen were getting back in the boat and excited about it. And I don't remember. Now, back in school, I would have been able to tell you, but I don't remember the fourth watch. According to Google, there was one that said from 8 a.m. to 12 midday, and I didn't think I was right. And another one said 3 to 6. I think that's right. I could be wrong. I think it's about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So let me find where I'm at now. So at verse 25, it says, in the fourth watch, I'm just going to say about 4 in the morning. So it's still pretty dark, I'm assuming. And it's kind of stormy, right? So you get a little bit of like a dark storm. You don't really know what's going on around you. It says, at the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So they had been, the disciples, I'm just going to say for the sake, if they had left, around 3 in the afternoon, they had been on the river or wherever, the lake, for about, let's say, 8, 12 hours, more or less, give or take. So they've been there for a little bit. But again, like I said, some of them, you know, a lot of them know what they're doing. It's not, you know, it's not foreign to them. But then all of a sudden there's just somebody standing on the water beside the boat at about 4 a.m. Like I said, some of these guys know what they're doing. And so I really highly doubt that they would have ever seen something like that before, seeing a guy walking on there. And now I've heard of stories. If you go in Mexico, people are convinced that there's a ghost called La Llorona. And La Llorona is a woman whose children drowned in the river, and she shows up in watered areas looking for her children. It's not true, but they're convinced that they see it. And every now and then I'll get a video or I see a status of somebody hearing something that sounds like a screech owl or a barn owl. And they're like, oh, there she was. And it's at night, of course. So I'm sure in this instance, there was something similar. I'm sure they've heard stories of things that they can see in water. But then this time was actually real because it's getting closer to them. So let's pick back up. I think it's verse 27. But straight away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So then they're like, whoa, so this actually is somebody out there on the water. But it's Jesus. So, I mean, imagine the relief when something's walking and it's actually walking towards you, but then realizing it's Jesus. I mean, that's great. Like, you know, that would take a burden off. But then, verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on to the water. Now, I love this part because I think for us so many times, we do the same thing. We ask God for something, and he grants it to us. That's so cool, this part, this verse right here, when he asks. And he said, come. Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And in my imagination, I think in pictures a lot when I read. And if it doesn't jive, then I can't. If my image that's going on in my mind when I'm reading doesn't jive with what I'm reading, then I just stop reading because it doesn't work. So when I read this passage, I think when Peter steps out of the boat, you know, the water's really rough right now. So imagine the sensation of walking on something that's moving up and down like that. I like to imagine it's dark. He steps out and he sinks a little bit, like if he was in shag carpet. And he's starting to get a little wet, but he's already wet. And he starts walking. He's like, wow, I'm actually walking. And like the first few steps, I'm sure he was like, this is so cool, you know, and he's actually doing it. But then he takes a little bit longer and it says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying to the Lord, save me. So right at this point, I want to stop there and I want to think for us, let's examine ourselves again. So at this point, Peter just he was looking at Jesus and he was getting ready. I'm sure he was in the direction going to walk straight to Jesus. I doubt he's going to go check the boat. You know, I'm sure he's going to go where Jesus is at. He steps out there, he starts walking, and then he starts realizing what he's doing. He looks around and he's like, whoa, like this is crazy. Like this is not right. And then he starts to sink a little bit because his faith is failing him. He's not trusting God anymore. He's not focused on God anymore. He's focused on his surroundings. In verse 31, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So immediately Jesus reaches out and catches him. It wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to let him swim a little bit. You know, it was his fault for not believing me, you know. I think a lot of times we can do that in our personal lives when we give somebody a task and they don't do it. I'm like, well, you know, Daddy always said a child only touch fire one time because once they get burned, they won't do that again, you know. But Jesus was there immediately to pull him out of the water. I was watching some children when I was in Mexico. I guess 2 weeks ago now, we were at the beach. When we go to the beach, it's a big, big thing. Everybody, like family that I didn't even know was family, shows up on the beach trips. It's a full day. We leave bright and early in the morning. And we went out, and it was hot, and the water was rough, and it wasn't very clean. And it's a surprise because it's a really nice beach where the area was. And we had finished playing soccer on the sand, and everybody was exhausted. And I looked over, and I was watching the children. And now for me, I am terrified of the ocean. I mean terrified. There's two things. One's flying, and one, the other one is the ocean. I hate the deep sea. And if I ever I go swimming at the ocean, I only go about 10 feet from where I know that I'm about. I'll only go about chest height. If I can't touch, I freak out. And I'm a really good swimmer. I just don't know what's underneath there. And I was watching the children, and there was a little boy. His name is Kenneth. And I was swimming out there, and I was pretty deep. And this little boy, he's maybe about this tall. And he has a little floaty around him. And he's out there swimming about 5 feet farther than where I'm at. I'm like, goodness, kid. And he's just, you know, oh, I feel like I can swim now. He didn't know how to swim, but he had a little thing. I was like, wow. Would we, if we knew less, trust God more? I was like, wow. I was like, because why am I so scared of the ocean? What brings that? And I'm like, well, there's sharks, and we were seeing jellyfish, tons of jellyfish that day. There's jellyfish, and there's sharp rocks, and there's rip currents, and there's all this stuff. And this little boy who's out there is totally just killing it in his little floaty. And I was like, do I question God for the knowledge he's given me in some areas? And would I trust him more if I knew less? Or is this God trying to show me, listen, from a young age up, you trusted me when you're this age, and now you're not trusting me from the more that you know of me? I don't know. It was just, for me, it was a challenge for me when I was watching that. I was like, wow. And so I went and played with the children then a little bit out in the deeper water and pulled them back in. But in verse 31, yeah, I guess I already spoke on that. So verse 32, and they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. So as soon as they're in the ship, Jesus calmed the waters and calmed everything. And so could this have been that whole thing, I think, was to show the disciples again Jesus' power, but also trust, work on a trust. I think it was a trust exercise for the disciples there. But think of the reaction. I mean, all this happens pretty quick. I mean, I'm imagining this is happening. This all happened in about 10 minutes. I mean, 1 minute they're out, you know, struggling in the boat, you know, with a lot of serious waves and whatnot. And then all of a sudden they see what they think is a ghost, and the ghost winds up speaking, and it's Jesus. And so then Peter's like, oh, I want to come out, and starts walking on water, and he starts sinking a little bit. Jesus pulls him out, and they get back in the boat. As soon as he's back in the boat, Jesus calms the waters. You know, just all this happens like that. And it says in verse 33, and then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of truth, thou art the Son of God. How often do we, when we see something, draw ourselves closer? It says they were in the ship and worshipped him. They sought him out and worshipped him after seeing all of this. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't say, there are definitely times when we do feel closer to God. And I'm sure these guys, after having freaked out and then realizing that it's Jesus, we're really just like super excited. It's a real thing. We're emotional beings. But how often do we, so let's put this in a different idea. How often do we get off on our own and feel like we're doing it well on our own, and then kind of start sinking a little bit, but are okay with sinking a little bit and walking, you know, knee deep in water? You know, how often do we go that far? And then when we start sinking and we get really sunk, do we realize that we need help? Jesus is there. And then do we come back to him? I don't know if y'all are tracking with me there, but how often I think it just, I don't know, me personally, I can so easily get caught up in the moment and just kind of forget where my priorities need to have been. And then not until something huge happens. You know, not until when I heard Emanuel Hostetler died over literally working on a church addition, you know. I doubt, and the funny thing is, Daddy, about 4 years ago, was on that committee to do the church addition. They're just starting it. Who would have thought? And then after that, the amount of, I don't know, there just seems to be like, and God, and it says it here when Jesus was there immediately. It feels real that Jesus is there immediately to help us out. But I think on our parts, as us being as emotional beings, is there a way we can improve ourselves in being more closer to God and not having these times where we're far away and then we're close again and far away? Can we find a happy medium? Or can we find ourselves, maybe we could do better? And this is my challenge, is can we do better at seeking out God in our daily lives and drawing ourselves closer to him rather than just in the moments when we get shaken up, we draw ourselves closer and then walk into a happy neutral. Now, I think there is a, in Romans 1, 16, there's one extreme I want to bring up. Romans 1:16-23. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who have told the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him as not as God, neither were thankful, but became in vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into the birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. And this was a challenge to me as I was reading this, because I feel like I personally, I'm guilty of that. I am very guilty of feeling that I can be wise in the moment. But really, where does my wisdom come from? It comes from experiences that God has given. So again, I want to restate the word expect. What do we expect? Do we expect everything given to us, or naturally, or are we grateful from God? There's a short story I want to read, and then I have a song that I also wanted to say that was a personal, it's one of my most favorite songs in Spanish that I thought about reading out, but it might be a lot of extra reading, so we'll see. But there's a short story I wanted to read about trust that I really liked, and I don't know where it's set in or what, but here it is. Rohit was traveling from one city to another, but he missed his morning train, so while waiting, thought of having breakfast. He went out of the station and started walking towards a nearby hotel to eat, and on his way, he saw two kids sitting on the sidewalk. Their condition was not looking good, and by the look on their face, he could guess that they were very hungry. So he felt bad for them and gave them 10 euros, I think, 10 R, I guess that's euros. Reagan, would you know? 10 R? No? Okay, anyways, 10 R and left. After this, as he was walking toward the hotel, He thought of himself, how stupid of me. I just gave them 10 euros. What can they buy to eat with it? And I can't even get a cup of tea with that. So he felt ashamed of himself and went back to those kids, and he asked them if they would like to eat at a hotel with him. The kids were confused and looked at each other, as they were very hungry. They accepted his offer when the kids were at the hotel. The hoteler stopped them from entering as their clothes were too dirty and torn. Seeing this, Rohit went to them and asked him to allow those kids to enter as they were with him and he is going to pay for their food. Seeing this, the hoteler understood the whole situation and felt ashamed of his act of stopping these kids from entering. They get inside and seated comfortably, and after this, Rohit asked the kids, what do you want to eat? And the kids kept silent. So Rohit ordered food. As soon as food came, he saw a smile on the face of the boys and felt happy. When the children started eating, the happiness on their face was somewhat different. After having food, they returned back. Before leaving, Rohit handed them some more money and asked them to go buy some clothes. The whole incident was over, and Rohit was back in his normal routine. But even after many days, he couldn't stop thinking about those boys, and he felt bad for them. One day while visiting the temple, he said, God, where are you? How can you sit quietly when there are children like them who are suffering from hunger? Just in the next moment, a thought struck his mind. Who has been providing food for them until now? What I did for those boys, could I have not done with my own thinking? At that moment, he realized and understood that whatever we do is just part of God's plan. Whenever we help someone, it is because God finds us worthy to help someone, and he sends us to help that person. I was very challenged by that story, and I thought it went along well, how often we can think that we're doing something out of God's plan. You know, we can take glory for it. And really, it's part of God's plan that he put us in that situation to do that for someone. In closing, and I'm sorry if it was short. In closing, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I hope this is a challenge, but also an encouragement to you all, that we can trust in God in everything, because I feel like sometimes we can very easily think that he's not in complete control. And then in the end, we wind up looking foolish because he is in complete control. So thank you all very much. God bless you all.